Excuse me. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms here in athletics and sports. And I'd like to give a shout out to the Omega Men for their Founders Day today. I celebrate my father, who was an Omega Man, and he explained to me very clearly that he was not a Q, he was an Omega Man. And so I still have his brick. I have his brick with me. And so any Omega Men daughters out there, I know that our engineer is a daughter of an Omega Man too. So shout out to him too in heaven. So today, interesting enough, I want to just kind of do some kind of coaching if you're listening to me. Everyone needs to have a You Grow Girl folder. You Grow Girl folder to lift you up on those days that may not be as bright as you like it to be. And be that we have electronic folders, you should have electronic folders to do that. Before there were electronic folders, I would actually put it in a folder, and then I would put it in a binder, like a photo album, so I could just flip through it whenever those days were. Now, I'm not having one of those days per se today. It just so happens I was looking for something inside the Chat in the Garden group, and I fell upon something. And I was like, oh, we have grown. So I just want to share, before the government told Facebook that you should not be face recognitions and whatnot, I had a program that would tell me who were the most engaged group of people and give me a nice little mural of all the different heads in the place. And that was a nice way to celebrate the month. Well, when Facebook said they couldn't do the recognition, then the software I was using to do the analytics for the Facebook group, it also went away. But, you know, the thing is, I think it's so beautiful, is the fact that I still have the actual post that I did before. And for some reason, I guess I put something up like, what have you learned? What have you gained from the garden? So this was 4 years ago. And we're 8 years old, y'all. We're 8 years old. Can you imagine? We're really like in the second grade. You know, we're no longer kindergarten. We're not playing around. We're the real deal. We got to go to school every day. So 4 years ago, Dr. Angela Burtis, this space provides so much. I don't know where to begin. Let me move this up a little bit. It's a place where women grinding it out and setting industry standards in our own respective roles. Sakara Harrison, among other things, this page highlights the accomplishments of others in the field, which is very motivational, and it also keeps me updated on the latest news. Carla Sapp, The Garden, has offered me the opportunity to gain exposure and network among athletic professionals in ways I would never imagine. Kelsey Nicole Nelson, The Garden has been amazing to be a part of. So thankful for the opportunity to connect and network with so many amazing women doing amazing things. College athletics world is in great hands, and The Garden helps bring awareness to the great work women are doing in the garden. I'm going to have to figure out how to do something with that kind of good stuff. You know, I did take some quotes and made a T-shirt out of it. Well, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. It just hit me. I was thinking about doing a calendar And that's going to be it. I'm going to take these quotes and make a calendar. Let me write that down. You see how when you're in a relaxed mode and you just talk it out? So glad we were able to figure that out together. So you all heard it here first. I'm going to try to get it ready. You know what? I'm going to do some pre-sales. Pre-sales on Black Friday. That's what I'm going to do. So I got my work cut out for me. Yeah. Because I wanted to do something like a calendar anyway. But there's so many of us in here. We got 8 years. How was I going to pick who to, what pictures or whatnot? So now I'm just going to take these quotes and put the quotes inside the thing. You know, can I get, hopefully y'all can tell me amen to that. Because I really don't want to do something I don't want. But, hey, you know what? I think I just might do it for myself, and then y'all can get one if you like. That's what I am going to do. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I got some good stuff I want to share with you all. Jasmine George Williams' book is, again, one of the ones of the resources I am saying that is much needed for a time such as this. Love is at the root of resistance, strategies of activism, advocacy, and liberation. To get this book, you can go on Amazon or you can go get a autograph book by going to www.drgsbook. Again, it's bit.ly/drgsbook, and get your advocacy book, not just for yourself, for your student athletes, and it's a workbook to help you do some reflecting. And I will tell you, just recently, which I haven't read yet, so I'm not 100% endorsing it. Plus, he hasn't paid me any money to endorse it, but. I watched the YouTube of, it just lost me. The name of the book is called Entertaining Race. Entertaining Race. And so here's the thing. Athletics, sports are all in all the conversations. You know, the conversations about vaccinated, not vaccinated, social injustice, not social injustice. You know, we cannot be in a bubble by ourselves. So Michael Eric Dyson, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, he was talking about critical race theory. Before there was a buzzword. And so, you know, he likes to bring it to the forefront. And when I say the forefront, I mean general populations. And our kids are in a general population, so we cannot be isolated. Why not use that as a conversation piece and then guide them to the direction how to do it best for them. And that's what this book helps you do. Love is at the root of resistance, strategies of activism, advocacy, and liberation. Again, get your copy today. You know, just start off reflecting upon your thoughts and how you see about it. And, you know, if you're apprehensive about because, again, if you were going to college campus, you're concerned about your status. There are different ways to be an advocate. And this podcast is one of those ways to do so. So, again, Dr. G.S. Books, to get your copy. Now, another way of activism is the magazine Significance in Athletics and Sports, which highlights Black women in athletic administration and sports. I'm excited about the new, the third issue that's coming out in March. I'm waiting to everybody to upload their versions, but I'm really excited. I've read all the drafts, not all of them. Like, I got about three or four more to go. But I'm really excited about what we're able to bring to you. But the other thing, too, is the second issue, and the first year is still available on Amazon, and you can also purchase it from me at payhip.com/seeds of empowerment. But we're going to begin the series Meet the Contributors with the second issue contributors starting tonight at 6 p.m. So you want to get a chance to know those that you've read about. You get a chance to ask questions via Facebook Live. So, again, that's my form of advocacy in the sense of networking so that you will be able to connect with people who either have gone on the path before you or with you or after you. This is what it all takes, because I think I put a post I want to say in the last month, I put up that community is a vehicle to counter mental illness, to keep for the mental awareness. Community is very important. If you feel isolated at your particular position, this is where you need to go to get flourished. The garden is where you need to come to. This is my form of activism, advocacy, and liberation. So if you are missing the first and the second issue, again, you can order at payhip.com/seeds of empowerment. Hey, but let me tell you what I have been dying to tell you, and I've been keeping my cool about it. Do y'all realize that the Lakers home is about to change? Yes, the Lakers home is about to change. And I thought I put it up here. What's about to be changed to? Let me just type it up here. Because I was saving it because I thought, hey, that's what I keep saying about our longtime sponsor, Jolene Robinson. Because I keep telling you, if you don't know what Bitcoins are, then you definitely need, number one, to get from under the rock, number one. Number two, is to get educated about that. Because, again, if the Lakers are about to change their name to Crypto.com Arena, you hear what I say? The Lakers' home is to be changed to Crypto.com Arena. If you don't know what crypto is, that's where a flag should go up. All right, and Jolene Robinson of Stepping to Win will help you with that knowledge, okay? And I mean, she's a retired basketball coach, winning basketball coach, matter of fact, that is helping women with the financial investor game. And it's different from, I'm going to say back in the 90s, you know, people would get together and have investment clubs, and they would, you know, do the research, and they would pick and put their money together. You don't do it that way anymore. Before that, you had to have somebody that could do your investing for you. It's a different world. You know, if you got Acorns today that takes money that rounds off your dollar and they put it into a little pot, you could take that money and invest it today. And I'm telling you, you need to have more than one income stream. More than one income stream. So if any of these things that you say, you right, oh my, you absolutely right. Well, let me tell you how to go ahead and get more right with Jolene Robinson. Text her at 980-298-2231. Again, 980-298-2231. 2231, or you can email her at jrobinson@stepping2win.com. Stepping2win.com. I got one more resource that I'm telling you that you need to definitely have on your bookshelf. It's called Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. She's another longtime sponsor of A Chat in the Garden, and I endorse her book 1,000%. More so now because our students are now embarking upon needs before they end their college career. And those needs may be an agent, it may be a lawyer to look at these potential sponsorship deals, because the LA department can't tell you whether it's a good deal or a bad deal. They can just tell you whether it is in conflict with what the university is already obligated to. And so they need that. They're going to need that. And so we're not waiting for one and done. We're not waiting for 4 years. And we're not just talking about football and basketball. We're talking about track and field. You know, if you really think about it, those individuals will probably go professional before anybody else. And so there's some things that they need to, some people on their team they need to have. And how do you select those individuals? That's what this book is about, Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. It's in three different formats. It's on Amazon in paperback, audio, and PDF. You really, really, really need to get your copy of this to assist your students with their next. Our guest today is someone I have known for a very, 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 very long time. And the interesting thing is that when my first job out of college was at St. Paul's College, and I was supposed to be a sports information director. By itself, I thought. Well, at the last minute, they tacked on another duty, and it was academic advising. And I said, huh? I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm hungry. I'm straight out of college. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. Well, luckily, I had a resource at Hampton University. Coach Mel Rose was over the academic piece for the football team at Hampton University. And he actually created a whole program. And I think we had coffee machines back then. So he made a copy of his whole program for me, so that I could institute that at St. Paul's College. And Mel Rose happens to be the father of our guest today. And you fast forward to actually 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I want to say it was around this time, because I think that she came in the spring. And so he reached out to me with his burly voice and was like, hey, how you doing? I got a favor to ask you. I was like, yes, coach, anything. You know, he says, I have my daughter. She needs an internship and want to see if she can come down there with you. Absolutely, coach, because you helped me and I'd be glad to help others. Now, y'all hear me say 10 years ago? Now, when I tell you what the title the girl has, you go like, what? So, you know, I listen to you all. You say you want to hear more from your generation. And this is from your generation. This is Tara Davenport, Associate Athletic Director in SWA at Savannah State University. Welcome to the garden, Tara.
Thank you. Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Fine. Look, I was trying to do the windy wings. How you doing? my mama watches that, I sometimes walk by the room and go like, oh, here we go. But yeah, she is funny. But I am so, I had to like lighten up a little bit because I know I probably took you down a road you didn't want to go down. And no, and your father too.
Yeah, you did.
Is it? Your daddy too. Yeah, Omega Man. Oh my goodness, they all up there. They all up there hooping and happening about us, the three of us on the line together. I tell you. So, I am so proud of you, and I'm going to try to stay on track with my notes here. So let's just jump right on in. Tell everybody your journey from college to your current position.
Okay. I didn't come the conventional way. I'm an athletic administrator that didn't have any college student athlete experience. However, as you pointed out, my dad has been a part of college athletics pretty much my entire life. So when it came time for me to decide, like, okay, what am I going to do with this degree that I'm getting? I knew I wanted to work in athletics, but had no idea what that looked like. Because up until I got to Bowie, that was my alma mater, Bowie State University, all I knew about athletics was professional sports. So, you know, NFL, NBA, and I'm like, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to do that. And when I got to Bowie State University, the associate athletic director / head women's basketball coach at the time, Donna Polk, I went to her office one day and I said, you know, you look like me and you work in athletics and tell me how you did it. Because, you know, I was in my second year in sports management and was like, I need to figure out what it is I'm doing, or am I just getting a degree? And she was like, sure, you know, she gave me a time. I think it was like the same week, come back that Wednesday. I showed up, we talked, and honestly, she took me under her wing and introduced me to college athletics. And I turned into like the everything student manager. I did tickets. I was team manager. I was her compliance assistant. And I was just like, wow, like I really love this environment. So fast forward to the part of the story that you shared. When it came time for my internship, I, of course, waited till the extremely last minute. So when I was like, Daddy, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I need this internship. And he was like, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'm going to make some calls. And I think within the next day, he was like, you'll be interning at the CIAA office. And I'm like, I'll be what? Like, oh my. So, and that was, I started in that summer. It was the summer of 2011. I remember my first day of being introduced to the CIAA staff was at the media day. And it was at Virginia State that year, and I happened to be at home. So you invited me to come. And I met Marcus Grant, who wound up being my intern supervisor, and George. And I was just like, wow, like I'm about to be a part of this. And I was super excited and I was ready to hit the ground running, and academics played a part. And my the dean at the time, Dr. John Organ, love him to death now. Like at the time I was not thrilled about his decision, but as I have gotten older, I have understood that it just made me better. But he had a rule that you had to have a 2.8 GPA or higher in order to do your internship. And I think I had like a 2.79. Might be giving too much information. And he pulled me out of the internship and said, you need to get a 2.8 before you can do it. And I was like, oh, my goodness, like I just got this great internship. Now I got to tell them I can't do it. And I'm like, they're not going to give it back to me. And I'm freaking out. And so I called Marcus, and Marcus was like, it's okay. Like, you know, you can do a little stuff here and there remotely, and then – you'll come back in the next semester. So I'm like, okay, I did what I had to do. I got the GPA. I started the internship, and it was such an awesome experience, like just going into the office every day and helping with CIAA tournament and being a part of the CIAA tournament and meeting the people that I've met. It was such a great experience. And then reality hit, like internship's about to be over. Tara, you need a job. So I called Donna Polk, and Anton Goff was the athletic director at the time, and I said, I need a job. And I was like, and I want to work there. So, like, okay, y'all got to make that happen. And I just kept calling, and I kept saying, like, okay, did you figure it out yet? You figure it out yet? And I've always been the person, like, you know, what I want is what I'm going for. So, like, I wanted to go to Bowie. I applied to Bowie, and that was it. And I was like, I'm going to get in. I wanted to work at Bowie, so that was the only job that I was really focused on. And once my internship was over, I was about to graduate, Donna called and said, okay, we're figuring out, we're going to create this position so that you can come back and work at Bowie. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, super excited, right? But never did a job interview, don't know how any of that stuff works. And so the timing of it really freaked me out. Like, she told me about that in May, but I didn't get an interview until July, and then I didn't actually start till September, so, you know. I was, like, crazy person at home, and my mom and dad were just like, Tara, calm down. Like, it's going to work out. You got the job. You just need to be patient. And I'm always on, like, but what if I didn't? I'm always that person. And September 12th of 2012 was my first day in compliance at Bowie State University, and I was not prepared for what I was about to embark on because – as a compliance assistant, you're doing compliance, but you're not doing compliance. When I got in September 12th, I remember I got a folder, and Donna said, men's basketball has to be certified by October 15th. That's their first game. And I was like, they got the what? Like, okay, well, what does that look like, and what do I do? So Bowie was definitely a learn-on-the-fly position and opportunity, and but also a struggle because, like I said, I was the everything student helper in athletics. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people couldn't overlook the fact that I was, you know, Tara the student, and now I'm Tara the colleague. But, you know, I'm 23 when I started that job, and coaches got grandkids the same age as me. So I'm trying to assert myself and, you know, tell people, like, this is how we need to do this. You need to meet these deadlines, and they're not really taking me serious. And, you know, a couple of other things played out at Bowie, and I got to a point where I think you could say I burned out. Like, I was like, maybe this isn't for me. Like, maybe I jumped into this because athletics has always been a part of my life, but maybe this isn't what I want to do. And right as we switched out to a new athletic director, I took a job at VCU as a registrar specialist, registration specialist, solely because I wanted to get my master's, because I knew that in order for me to advance in my career at this point, my master's degree was important. And so I was like, I'm going to go to VCU. I'm just going to work somewhere so they can pay for the degree. And I felt like at that time I really wanted to step away from athletics, so this was the perfect opportunity, so I thought. I started, you know, doing the whole clock in 8 to 5 thing and sitting at my desk most of the time doing absolutely nothing, not meeting with anybody. Like, I started missing the experience of, you know, having those random conversations with student athletes or random conversations with coaches and game days and all that. And I'm like, okay, I need to be back in athletics. So I started working, but, you know, when you leave it, it's hard to get back. So, you know, I thank God for the, it ain't about what you know, but it's who you know, because, you know, I think that really helped when Coach George Williams, the St. Aug job opened up, and at the time, Camellia Blake was in the position, and she called me and said, are you still looking for a job in athletics? And I was like, I sure am. Like, what, you know, tell me what I need to do, who I need to send my resume to. And I did. And Coach Williams called me, and I thought he was like, you know, I reached out. He actually said he reached out to Marcus, a couple of my other references, and he said, I'm really confident that you're, you know, you're going to do good. So when can you come down for an interview? Or at least that's what I thought. I thought I was going down for an interview. And I was like, I can do it next week. And he was like, okay. And I get there, and I'm signing HR paperwork. And I'm like, I thought I was interviewing. So
no.
I was like, I went up there for an interview, and Coach Williams was like, no, like, you got the job, because, you know, he trusted my references and he trusted his people. And, you know, that was really big, just knowing that I made that impact on those individuals that, I mean, the people that he listed, I'm like, I didn't even know that person really knew who I was. And so that was a great moment of confidence built for me. And it was kind of the moment where I'm like, okay, if this is what I'm going to do, like, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm not going to just be in a seat just to do it. I'm not going to just collect the check just to collect it. Like, if I'm going to be in athletics, if this is what I'm saying my career is going to be, like, I'm going to put my all into it. And I did. And St. Aug definitely made sure of that. I was the one person shot with a whole lot of responsibilities other than compliance under my belt. But working with Coach Williams and the rest of the St. Augustine team was a great experience that was short-lived because I met my former supervisor, who's at Barry University, Amanda Knight, at an NCAA convention. And at the time, moving to Miami fit my personal life and what I was trying to do there. And I just kind of felt like, and you know how sometimes you feel like God just puts people where you're supposed to be at the right time, and so you just know, like, this was meant for me. And I was going to convention, and in convention, we got snowed in I think Salt Lake City, and I was snowed in Salt Lake City with the former associate athletic director at Barry University, and she was telling me how she had just got promoted to a new school, and I was like, oh, so that, and she told me that Amanda had got promoted to her old position. So I said, oh, that means that Amanda's old position is now open. I had made it up in my mind at that moment. I said, when I get to convention, I need to find Amanda and we need to have a conversation. So we had one of those Black women in sports socials, and I ran into her and I talked to her and I said, I heard you had a position open. Now, the position hadn't even been posted yet, but I was like, I'm going to put my name in the hat and see what happens. And we talked about it. And then, you know, when the interview opportunity came along, I applied, I interviewed, and I got the job. And I really sought out that position because Amanda, based off of what I had already seen from her at convention and just things I had known about her through other colleagues, I knew that she would be the right supervisor to get me where I was trying to go. Like, I felt up until that point like I was just kind of doing the job, and I wanted to start getting more out of my position than just going in work. Like, I wanted to be on committees. I wanted to go to LI. I wanted to be a part of different opportunities in professional development outside of just going to work. And she did exactly what I thought she would. She put me in the right circles, introduced me to the right people. I was on the RAC committee at Barry. I made two NAC committees while I was at Barry. I made a Leadership Institute while I was at Barry. Shout out to the COVID cohort if anyone's listening. But, you know, at that point, you know, I kind of guess I felt like I hit a ceiling, like, okay, like, I've done a lot here, but if I don't leave, I'm never going to get better. And so I started thinking, like, all right, and one day Savannah State popped up on Indeed, and I'm like, I called Dr. Miller and say, okay, you know, I'm interested. Tell me about it. And she told me about it, and she didn't scare me off, and I applied, and here I am. It started October 11th, so I'm fresh out in Savannah. But so far it's been a great experience, and I know that moving forward it's definitely going to be an experience where I grow. So looking forward to that.
Outstanding. Oh, my gosh. And you mentioned so many of my mentees, Donna Pope. I just saw her last month. We had dinner together. Camellia Blake. She had me come down to Campbell to do a workshop. Amanda, one of my mentees. I came down and did a staff retreat for
did.
You all.
I was there.
You? Yeah. So just a plug, I'm trying to add some more university workshops to my calendar. So if you're in need, can you give me an endorsement?
Look, we are in need, so I will definitely talk to you offline about that. We can definitely use
cool.
it.
Okay. I wasn't even talking about Savannah State. I was just saying to tell the whole world what you thought about the workshop. But, yeah, since you were in a position to do that.
Right, I am, but no, I thought that workshop was really helpful. Our staff is very diverse at Berry, and you were able to put the diversities in a perspective where people understood, like, this is why this person is how they are. And I was actually very surprised with the engagement that we got. Generally, you know, our coaches, they're kind of like, okay, I'm in this session because I have to be. But they were very engaged. We learned a lot. Great way to map out, you know, what our success looks like and what drives us to be successful. I remember that question specifically that you asked. So, yeah, I mean, if anybody has the ability to do it, I think it's a great opportunity to do a staff development.
Thank you so very much. Thank you so much. So, now here's the thing. You have, I believe, a former coworker, Ayanna Twitty, who is a newly appointed AD.
Yes.
What's the college she's an AD for?
She is at Rolls-Hulman in Indiana, in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Oh, wow. See, this is the interesting thing. See, it's like, that's why I call it the garden. You know, you just like you feed off of each other. Were y'all in the same class?
No. So, funny. So, here's the funny story when you talk about me and Tweety. So, Tweety and I knew each other when Tweety was like 5 years old. And we went to the same church. We both went to Spring Creek Baptist Church in Midlothian, Virginia. And I was the new student orientation leader when Tweety walked into the gym. And I just turned and happened to look and was like, what are you doing? And she was like, I'm going to school here. Like, didn't know we were going to wind up in the same place. But like I always say, it's funny how God puts people in your life. Because Tweety, both myself and Tweety both were in. She was a student athlete. She was a SAC advisor. Student athlete and SAC president. I was the SAC advisor. We used to work very closely together. Yes, we used to work very co-advisor, because Coach Latt will kill me if she's listening. Coach Latt was the primary advisor. I was just there helping. But we worked very close together. We went to student athlete leadership forum together. And then when I left Bowie, I was contracted, and Tweety was in the office doing all of the office stuff and checking things and everything. And I don't think up until the point of her being thrown into that position, compliance had ever crossed her mind as far as something to do. But I definitely utilized her. And then when I our relationship at that point was different, because it wasn't like little Tweety from church anymore. It was, you know, my sister in this business. And throughout the last few years, honestly, since I lost my dad, I have leaned on her significantly on like how to keep pushing and how to get through it. And, you know, when you feel like giving up, how do you get those thoughts out of your head? And she has really been like a godsend, honestly. I hope she's listening, because I tell her all the time, like, I don't know where I would be if it were not for her. And it's just funny how she's younger than me. And she's always been younger than me, but she has always seemed to be the big sister in this relationship. And, you know, I appreciate it, and I'm happy for it, and I'm so proud of her for her new opportunity. But it's just so funny how we, like, randomly met up again at Bowie, and we weren't planning on it. I didn't know she was even getting recruited to Bowie. So it's just interesting how those things happen and how people, you know, surface in your life when they're supposed to.
Oh, my goodness. I agree with you 1,000%. I do want to give a shout-out to your Bowie State football team for winning the CIAA football championship. So I'll give y'all that.
Three times in a row.
Oh, okay.
Three times in a row.
As she clarifies. Oh, my. So we're going to take a short commercial here, and I'm going to deep dive into some of these questions that have come in for you.
Hey, it's Dr. Jasmine George Williams, also known as Dr. G. I'm so excited to share the release of my book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation, available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle format. To learn more about my research and activism, please visit www.drjasmine.com. That's www.drjasmine. Thank you for your support. All power to the people.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chapman Garden with Smith is Bloomed in Athletics and Sports. So here's your first question. Let's talk about the transition between HBCU and a PWI and back to HBCU.
Okay. Well, HBCU, like I said in my telling of my story, that's where I started. I graduated from there, and that's what gave me my shot. So, you know, I was grateful or, you know, blessed enough, better yet, to have been able to experience that first. And the reason I say that is because to a PWI, although in some areas the grass is greener, right? You have more resources at times, more personnel at times. You're able to focus on your area. That was one of the things that I did enjoy. I was able to focus on compliance when I was at Barry because we had other people in place for the other things. However, as I tell anybody who asks me this question, there is something about an HBCU, the family feel, the environment, the excitement on Saturday when there's a game, the tailgating, you're not going to get that anywhere else, no matter what other school you're at. And so for me, you know, just wanting to be back at HBCU, wanting to be back with people that I can relate to, wanting to be back with student athletes that I can impact and be, you know, helpful to. You know, at Barry, I didn't even see most because, you know, they were, we coming in, we getting our degrees, and we're leaving. So it wasn't a lot of need for me to really be, you know, maybe that big sister figure that they're looking for or that they need. And that was something that I really did like and enjoy about both at Bowie and St. Augustine's University is the ability to be that ear for student athletes when they needed it. Not necessarily to talk to them about school, but life in general. And so I wanted to go back to an institution where I knew I could get that and where I could have that. And so whereas operations and things might be okay, there were other issues I had to deal with at PWI that really surfaced over the last year with all of the social injustice conversations. And that was an issue that I was not trying to deal with at work. When I go to work, I'm not trying to, you know, be concerned about, you know, who's in my corner, who's trying to stab me in the back. And, you know, I'm just going to be blatant about it. You know, some people had those microaggression issues, and it became a lot for me because it became something that I was taking home with me every night. And, you know, with mental health being such a big deal and me already having so much on my plate mentally, I just was like, okay, I need to, like, you know, sit back and reevaluate. Do I want to stay, you know, in this space? And again, like, as I'm having that conversation with myself, the Savannah job opened because I was like, I'm ready to go back to an HBCU. I felt like I had taken enough from that PWI that now I'm able to come back to the HBCU and implement that stuff, you know, because there are more efficient ways to do things. And now that I have the knowledge and how to do that, you know, that is my goal, essentially, is to come back and then get this department to run efficiently, you know, not to say that it doesn't, but we all have worked at HBCU, so we know how that goes. But there are easier ways to do things, and there are more efficient ways to do things. And so my goal always was, if I got to be at a PWI, was to get that experience, get the information, and then bring it back, you know, because our HBCUs need to be in the forefront. They need to be the focus. And, yeah, I didn't want to be the person that left and forgot where I came from. So I knew I was coming back to an HBCU. I just didn't know when. And Savannah gave me that opportunity.
Well, I hope you hear what I said about the book. Love is at the root of resistance, strategies of activism, advocacy, and liberation. I think you would enjoy the workbook part of it to help you work through, you know, what you experience, and then you're actually embarking upon a little bit of the activism by even speaking about it on this platform. I'm sure there's some other people that are listening and maybe feeling some of the same microaggressions and going like, okay, this is a solution that may be out there. Take my talents. I mean, we see coaches and we see players do that to HBCU. I mean, you know, that may be a solution. I did. I teach. I taught at ODU first, and I experienced some microaggressions with my style. And I'm in the Hampton for 5 years, and they actually soar from my style, which is the motherly hug and kick at the same time. You will do this, or, you know, and it ain't a mess. I don't deal with no talk back. That ain't what's going to happen with me, because you're going to see reflected upon your grade, you know. And we're not familiar like that either, if you know what I mean. Yeah, too much familiarity for me. Second question. The importance of relationship building across campus.
So building relationship, especially in my position, so I do compliance, right? So building relationships across campus is extremely important. That's kind of where my focus is right now in my current position. Because the additional stakeholders in compliance make a big difference in whether your department is successful or it's not. You know, from registrar to the admissions department to housing, you know, all of them play a huge role in the operations of athletics. And a lot of them really, most of the time, are unaware of how important their role is. And so, you know, at Barry, and one thing I plan on bringing to Savannah, we had a compliance committee, but it consisted of everybody. So we had housing, we had the business office, we had the registrar, admissions, financial aid, anybody that we had the academic advisors on there, anybody we could think of that played a part in compliance, so that when we're sitting in those conversations, maybe the process that the registrar currently has with evaluating transcripts is holding up financial aid. But now all of us are in the room, and we can all have a conversation about it to see, well, if we got a student athlete that's coming in August and you get the transcript in July, is there another way that we can get this evaluated sooner so that financial aid can post the money? And I find that when financial aid gets a chance to advocate for themselves with the registrar's office, it's more helpful than hearing it from me and just a one-on-one meeting with the registrar. Because they might be thinking, well, she's just saying that because she's trying to get something done. But if you're hearing it from, so to speak, the horse's mouth, then it's like, okay, well, now let's work together and figure out how we can do things. And I think that that really does build the relationship. It shows that you care, because I'm not trying to get you to do something because it works better for me. I'm trying to get you all to do something that works better for your operations completely. And yet we had a lot of new ideas and a lot of new systems that came out of those meetings and ways to monitor admissions or monitor financial aid. And so building relationships is super important. It's probably one of the most important things to do when you're in compliance, because you never know when you're going to need any of those people, specifically the registrar's office. But you need to be able to be on that first name or cell phone basis with them to say, hey, you know, I just submitted this checklist and I need you to review it, like, really quick. And, you know, once you build those relationships and show that I'm not just building this relationship because I need something from you, but I'm genuinely trying to create a relationship with you outside of the department, or, you know, I want to be there for you too if you need something from athletics. You know, once you build that reciprocated relationship, I think people are way more inclined to help or do what they can. And then also from them seeing it in the committee, they know what them doing or not doing their part, how it has the effect on athletics. Relationship definitely number one.
So my last question, all these came from Tweety. Can you believe that?
I can.
Yeah. So here's a deep one. How important is it to manage up, down, across, and how do you create a strong buy-in with your coaches and staff? That's kind of two questions, but you can kind of combine them to answer it.
So managing up, I think number one is building the trust and building the confidence so that your immediate supervisor is not concerned about whether or not you can do the job or not. I think I did a good job with that at Barry and letting Amanda know, like, if there's something that you gave me, like, it's going to get done. You don't have to micromanage me or keep asking me, did you get it done? Did you get it done? Like, you know, it was times where she'd be like, well, did you do this? And I'm like, yep, just send it to you. And she's like, oh. So just kind of building that, the confidence between you and your supervisor and building that trust factor and essentially building that relationship. And just making sure, because when you have somebody under you that's not doing their job, that adds more to the plate of the supervisor. Because now on top of me having to do my job, I got to worry about whether or not you're doing yours or not. And so just making sure that you're doing your job and making sure that you are, you know, adhering to your job description and other duties as assigned, as requested, I think really helps with the managing up factor and the building the trust, which is super important from, you know, subordinate to supervisor at all times. And then managing across, for me, it's all about education. And I'm looking at this from managing across, as in my coaches, educating them. Because there are some coaches who've been coaching for years and never really took the time to really understand the rules and the processes. They kind of just want you to handhold them. I'm big on accountability and making sure that you understand that this is your program. So you need to be as invested in your program as I am invested in your program. And so I'm very big on education and making sure we have our compliance education sessions. And, you know, if a coach has a question, we can sit and open up our manuals and go back and forth on our interpretations till the cows come home. If that's what you want to do, and just making sure they know I have an open door policy, you know, that I'm here to help. I'm here to service the athletes. I'm here to make the athletes better. So, like, you know, if we want to talk about a waiver or anything, you know, I just want to make sure that they're aware that, you know, I am here for them to help them, not to do their job, but I'm here to help, and I'm here to educate you so that you can do your job better, or more efficiently, I should say. And then managing down, I take great pride in my ability to intern or – I mean, to oversee my interns and mentor my interns, because the joy of seeing them go on to bigger and better things and knowing that, I mean, I may not have been the driving factor for that, but knowing that I played a part makes you feel good. And, I, you know, I didn't really understand that at first because I never really had interns until I got to Barry, interns and graduate assistants. But I love to sit down and explain to them how to do stuff. Or, like, you know, if I'm going through certification, like, pull up a chair and let's sit down and let's do it together. Or even give them stuff and say, okay, is this kid eligible or not? You know, just I like to make sure that if I leave the office, you can still do it. Like, if I'm gone for a week, the office doesn't shut down for a week. You know, you can do the basic day-to-day monitoring Kara or updating the transfer portal and things like that, and just being helpful and trying to push them to their next opportunities. So I really do enjoy that. And over the last few years with Barry, I've had, I guess, success in getting some people to new opportunities. So I think I do a good job with the managing down, and I really do enjoy that because, like I said, when you see what you've poured into somebody manifest into their next opportunity, it's a really great feeling to see and experience.
The last part was create the strong buy-in. I think you kind of said that you buy in with your coaches and your staff.
That's an interesting question because I'm currently actually in the process of doing that. When you come from one situation where, or better yet, when you come into a situation and somebody was your predecessor, you get a lot of, well, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. And when I first started receiving comments like that back when I was at St. Aug, I used to get offended. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not so-and-so. But now I see that, you know, you got to baby step because coaches are very uniform. They like things done in a certain way on a certain schedule. And once they learn a certain process, they don't necessarily want to jump into learning a completely new one. And so me, the way I try to get coaches to buy in is to see the efficiency in my plan or my process. Like, we can do it this way, but if you did it this way, you only got two steps instead of four. And, you know, kind of getting them to see that, okay, well, you know, this might work better. Or sometimes even just letting them continue to do it the way they've been doing it. And they usually come around at some point. I know when I was at St. Aug, I had a lot of pushback when I first came in because I was like, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do this and I'm not doing this for y'all no more. And to this day, I still got coaches that call me from there, you know, hey, do you still have that form that you used to use? Can you send me this? Because, you know, they realize, although it may be a lot of work on the front end, it's so much easier on the back end to track things. And so I think when you get them to see the importance of what it is you're trying to put out there, what you're trying to implement, that really helps with them buying in. Like, it has to affect them, or they have to see how it will affect them in a positive manner for them to buy into it. So that's what I try to do. And sometimes there's just going to be things where they're just not going to agree with. But for the most part, I usually can get them on board because things that I'm trying to do are a lot easier or more efficient or streamlined for everybody, like not just me and them, like, you know, less paper or less, you know, steps, less foot legwork because you don't have to go to this office and this office to get it signed. It's all going to go through the website, so.
What time? We out of time, honey. We overtime. And so we get.
I'm a talker. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no, that's fine. I've enjoyed the conversation. I know you probably helped some people today. And I'm so glad that I was along for the journey, that I took that call and got you going. So I'm really proud of you. Oh, no problem. No problem. And I'd like to thank Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions for being an engineer and keeping me straight and keeping me from getting cut off. So we're going to be back next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, and have a significant rest of the day.